I invite your attention to 1 Kings chapter 3. Appreciate so much Pastor Custer's message this morning. And was whenever Pastor picks a theme for homecoming, and I have the joy of just sharing a brief message in the afternoon, I always try to pick a message that goes along with Pastor's theme. When I was 16 years old, I prepared to do something I've wanted to do my whole life, and that was buy a motorcycle. I couldn't think of many things in life that would be better than owning a motorcycle. I was so excited. I had planned the purchase for years. I knew exactly what I wanted. I could still tell you what it was, and it was how many years ago? 16 was a long time ago for me now. I wanted a Honda XL250, a dual-purpose four-stroke, very reliable. And I found one in the newspaper. I went and looked at it, low mileage, no scratches. I found my bike. I was excited. I was very excited, and when my dad told me the night before I went to buy it that he would not permit me to have it, I got angry. I got very angry. Okay, now remember, I was not a believer at the time. Well, I just kind of seethed inside, and I thought, I made a mistake. Next time, I'm not going to ask my dad. That was the fatal mistake. So I started looking around. And I found a bike nicer than an XL250. I found a 1976 Honda CB F50 Super Sport. It's the F model. Same as the K, but it has the 4-in-1 header, metal flake paint, and chrome chain guard. I was very excited. So I just didn't tell my dad. I went and purchased the bike, brought it home. He said, "What's that?" I said, "It's my motorcycle, Dad." He said, "You're not getting it." I said, "The title's already in my name, Dad." And our challenged relationship plummeted even further. Now, again, just so you younger ones know, I was not saved, okay? And I was wrong. So please, I'm not saying that was good. I'm telling you I was bad, okay? So I'm concerned that the younger ones don't go home and go buy a bike or something and say, "Hey, Mom, Pastor did it," okay? It was wrong. Now, here's the point of my illustration. My oil pan gasket was leaking. I'm not a mechanic, but I try my best. I was loosening one of the aluminum bolts underneath it where the leak was, and I snapped the head off. And now the leak was worse, but I couldn't get the bolt out. And I didn't know what to do. I realized I lacked experience. I did not have the answers. Now, some of you are mechanically inclined, and you already know what to do. But again, I'm not a mechanic. I did not know at 16 or 17, whatever I was, I didn't know what to do. And my dad pulls in the driveway. Now, my dad and I weren't always on the best speaking terms. Again, that's my fault. I lived a very sinful life before I was saved. And I thought, maybe my dad knows what to do. But I don't want to ask my dad what to do. Because if I ask him what to do, then he might say, "See, told you you shouldn't have bought the bike." And then I would just be, "Oh." So would I humble myself and ask, or would I be proud and pretend I knew more than I knew? Well, I humbled myself. And I said, "Dad, how you doing?" He said, "Fine, what's up?" I said, "Dad, you know, I've done something wrong. I broke off the head of this bolt, and it's leaking worse than ever. And Dad, I just don't know what to do." I acknowledged that I lacked experience. And then I said, "Dad, would you please help me?" I asked my dad for help. I didn't know what he would say. He said to me, "Let me look at it." He took a peek. He said, "Come on, let's go." I said, "Where are we going?" He said, "To the hardware store. We'll get an easy out and we'll take care of it. It's not so bad." And that's when I learned that you can buy something that some of you guys, I think, know of, because you're already smiling and shaking your heads, a little easy out, if you will. That's kind of like a drill bit that goes in with threads the other way, and you drill into that bolt shaft, if that's the right word, and then it lets you pull that screw right out. My dad did that. I helped him a little bit. It came out, and my dad helped me. You say, what's your point? I had to acknowledge to my dad that I had a need. I had to be humble. And number two, I had to ask for help. And those were the two things that we see King Solomon doing here in 1 Kings chapter 3. If you're not open to 1 Kings chapter 3, I invite your attention. I'd like to review a story together here from the Scriptures about a man who acknowledged that he needed help. He humbled himself and he asked for help and he got it. I'm going to read in 1 Kings chapter 3. We'll start reading in verse 7 of 1 Kings chapter 3. And then we'll work our way down through the text. In 1 Kings chapter 3, in fact, to back up and get a little bit of context, I'm going to start with verse 3. 1 Kings chapter 3 and verse 3. Now Solomon loved the Lord, walking in the statutes of his father David, except he sacrificed and burned incense on the high places. And the king went to Gibeon to sacrifice there, for there was the great high place. Solomon offered 1,000 burnt offerings on that altar. In Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream at night, and God said, "Ask what you wish me to give you." Then Solomon said, "Thou hast shown great loving kindness to thy servant David, my father, according as he hath walked before thee in truth and righteousness and uprightness of heart toward thee. And thou hast reserved for him this great loving kindness, that thou hast given him a son to sit on his throne as it is this day. And now, O Lord my God, thou hast made thy servant king in place of my father David. Yet I am but a little child. I do not know how to go out or come in. And thy servant is in the midst of thy people, which thou hast chosen, a great people who cannot be numbered or counted for multitude. So give thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, to discern between good and evil. For who is able to judge this great people of thine?" Here is Solomon, and what did he do? Number one, he acknowledged his need for divine help. Here we are facing a situation where we're encountering the opportunity to build. What must we do? Number one, we must acknowledge our need for divine help. Look at verse 7, please, again. Solomon says, "And now, O Lord my God, thou hast made me thy servant king in place of my father David, yet I am but a little child." Now, what did he mean, "I'm a little child"? You say, "I don't know. How old was Solomon?" Well, Solomon comes to reign roughly halfway through David's 40-year-old reign. Solomon was born roughly halfway through David's 40-year reign. That means Solomon is somewhere around the age of 20. He's no infant. He's no toddler. He's no junior high or high school guy. Solomon is 20 years old. He's a young man, but he's a man. So in verse 7, when Solomon says, "I am a child," what is he saying? He's saying, "I'm inexperienced. God, I'm 20 years old. I don't have a lot of background to fall back on." In fact, look at the end of verse 7. He says, "I do not know how to go out or come in." One translation puts it this way: "I do not know how to carry out my duties." You say, what's the point? Solomon had a low view of his own ability. Solomon did not say, "I'm the man. I can make it happen. I have a plan. And it's all going to be fine because I have self-confidence and it's going to happen." That is not what Solomon did. Solomon said, "Lord, I am but a child. I don't know how to do what I'm supposed to do." And in fact, it was especially important that Solomon know what he should do, because he wasn't making decisions that simply affected people in secular ways. He was making spiritual decisions that affected God's people. Look at verse 8, please. Solomon says, "And thy servant is in the midst of thy people, which thou hast chosen, a great people who cannot be numbered or counted for multitude." Solomon knew that what he did would affect God's people. And he was humbled by that. He says, "God, here I am in the midst of your people. So many people, a great people that we can't even count." You say, what does this all mean? Solomon had a high view of God's people. Solomon had a low view of his own ability. You say, what's the point? We must have a high view of God's work, and we must have a low view of our ability. I'm one of the guys on the building committee. I'm one of the elders, and I appreciate all of the men that give up their time so freely. And I speak on behalf of them and say, to be quite frank, we are unsure what to do. We have met and we continue to meet. We have talked and we continue to talk. We have prayed and we continue to pray. And we are being honest with you. We are not exactly sure what to do. We can just sit back and watch inflation generally go up, yet maybe miss an opportunity to serve. We can move forward and perhaps be too hasty and maybe make a choice that doesn't please God. We're not talking about just the business. We're not talking about just starting a little business on the side or even your bread and butter, your main vocational business. We're talking about God's work. And we take this very seriously. And as a church, that's what we have to do. We have to realize that the decisions we make affect God's people. We have to be very careful that we don't just jump ahead recklessly and make bad choices. Just today on the news, I was listening to the radio as I was driving to church, and I won't use a specific name because everybody drives something differently. I don't think anyone drives this vehicle here, but just in case, I don't want to embarrass anyone. Ford just this weekend quit manufacturing a certain vehicle. It's their biggest SUV. Just 5 years ago, somebody thought it would be great for Ford. SUVs are catching on. They made one of the biggest SUVs. They put all of this money in research, all of this money in design, and now they can't give them away. And they quit making them because people in our country have decided that getting 12 miles to the gallon and spending $100 per tankful just doesn't make sense. And because of sluggish sales, they've realized they're canceling this vehicle and they'll no longer be making it. Now, a few years back, I'm sure those corporate guys at Ford said, hey, this is the way to go. This is the plan. Someone sold the plan. They moved forward. It was a bad choice. We need to be careful, obviously, as a group of people, that we don't move in a way that is too quick and we do something foolish. On the other hand, is it possible that at times people don't move forward soon enough and make mistakes? Those of you that remember high school history may remember the name of the United States Secretary of State. His name was William Seward. And William Seward thought it would be good for the United States to purchase a plot of land, a mere 600,000 square miles. And he had the opportunity, our nation had the opportunity to purchase that land for a price of $7,200,000. Now that land, of course, we know today is called Alaska. Back then it wasn't called Alaska. You say, what did they call it? They called it, some of you know it, Seward's Folly or Seward's Icebox. He barely got it through the Senate. It passed by one vote. By one Senate vote, our nation purchased Alaska. 600,000 square miles. You say, how much did it cost? $12 per square mile. You say, how much is a square mile? Well, I wouldn't know this, but I looked it up. A square mile is 640 acres. You say, Greg, what did they pay per acre? Just slightly less than 2 cents per acre is what they paid for Alaska. A state that was not only rich in gold, but rich in petroleum, rich in natural gas, rich in coal, rich in timber, and rich in salmon. And however you go back and look at it, you would say, wow, it was so good they didn't hang back. They almost did by one vote, but they moved forward. And they listened to this man, Secretary of State William Seward. You say, okay, so if I want to build the big SUV, I look back and I say, bad decision. If I want to buy Alaska, I look back and say, good decision. The problem is we can't look back. We have to look forward. So what do? We do what Solomon did. Okay? Number one, we must acknowledge our need for divine help. And simply number two, we do what Solomon did. We must ask the Lord for divine help, which is exactly what Solomon did. Look at verse 9. So give thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, to discern between good and evil, for who is able to judge this great people of thine? What did Solomon say? Solomon said, number one, Lord, I acknowledge I need your help. Number two, I'm asking for help. And look what he asked in verse 9, please. An understanding heart. Those of you that have little footnotes and glosses in your Bible, you might want to glance down at your footnotes because some of you are going to see something like this. The word understanding literally means hearing. Solomon said, Lord, would you give me a heart that listens to your leadership? Would you give me a heart, Lord, that makes decisions in a way that would please you? I don't want to listen to my heart. I don't want to listen to other men. I want to listen to you. That's what Solomon prayed for. Give your servant an understanding heart. But look what comes next, please. In verse 9, to judge thy people and to discern between good and evil. Solomon wasn't asking for esoteric wisdom. He wasn't asking for the kind of thing that takes place in philosophy class. Now, he was wise, and there's a place for that. And he wrote Ecclesiastes, I know. But here Solomon is asking for the kind of heart that will help him to judge and discern. You say, what does that mean? To make decisions. Solomon's saying, God, please give me the ability to listen to you so that I can make good decisions. What are we praying for as a church? We're saying, Lord, would you please help us to listen to you so we can make good decisions? We acknowledge that we are but children. We acknowledge that we don't know how to go in and come out. We acknowledge that you are our source of help. So would you please help us to listen so we can make wise choices? And that's what we're praying. What kind of choices? Well, look at the end of verse 9. For who is able to judge this great people of thine? We are making choices that focus on God's people. We must be focused on the fact that the choices we make are choices that have to do with God's kingdom. And what we do in the future is not about Trinity Bible Church. It's not about Stuart Custer or Ward Anderson, Greg Mazak, or any of the other elders. It's not about the building committee. It's not about anything other than Jesus Christ. And what we have to do as a church is we have to pray that God will give us the wisdom to make choices that will bring glory to Jesus Christ. Now, what happens if we pray that kind of prayer? Do you think that God would be pleased with that? Let's go to verse 10, please, and find out. It was pleasing in the sight of the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing. You say, how pleased was God? He was really pleased. You say, how pleased? Really, really pleased. You say, how do you know? Verse 11. And God said to him, because you have asked this thing and have not asked for yourself long life, nor have asked riches for yourself, nor have you asked for the life of your enemies, but have asked for yourself discernment to understand justice, behold, I have done according to your words. Behold, I have given you a wise and discerning heart, so that there has been no one like you before, nor shall one like you arise after you. And here's more, verse 13. And I have also given you what you have not asked, both riches and honor, so that there will not be any among the kings like you all your days. You know what God basically says? Solomon, you humbled yourself and you freely admitted you don't know what to do. And you've come to me and you said, God, I need help. I am so happy that you acknowledged how finite you are and how infinite I am. I'm pleased with you. And I'm going to give you wisdom and a whole lot more. What are we doing this afternoon? We're acknowledging that we believe God would have us to expand our ministries. You say, how can it happen? The answer is, I don't know. Because I am but a child, and I don't know how to go in or come out. And that is the attitude of every person on our building committee and every person on our elder board. You say, so what are we going to do? Number one, we are going to publicly and humbly acknowledge that we don't have answers. And you may say, wow, that's not something leaders are supposed to do, Greg. You're not supposed to stand up in front of the family and say, we don't know. Well, that's what Solomon did, and it's what we're doing. We don't know. And we are humbly admitting that we lack wisdom. And so what we are doing is we're going to the Lord. And we're saying, Lord, we acknowledge that you have what you need, what we need. Would you please give us wisdom in the choices that we make? And what we're asking our church family to do, would you please pray with us that God will give us what we don't have? That's what we're asking you to do. Would you make it a matter of daily prayer, please, that God would give us the wisdom that we don't have? You say, Greg, is that the final end of the message? That's it. You say, aren't you going to tell us what you think? I've already told you what I think. I'm but a child, and I don't know. What I do know is I humbly admit to God that I don't know, nor do the rest of our men know. But we know who knows, and that's God. And so we are praying as a family, God, would you please give us wisdom? And we're inviting you to pray with us. Let's bow our heads right now, please, and let's pray. Father, we rejoice that we can come before you and tell you what you already know, and you know it better than we do, that we lack wisdom and that we desperately need your help. And Father, we come to you this afternoon publicly admitting that we lack wisdom and that we need your help. Lord, we come to you confident that this type of prayer is pleasing to you. And so we humble ourselves before you. We acknowledge our great need, and we acknowledge your ability to meet that need. Lord, you know our burden. You know our desire. You know, Father, how we would like to serve you. And if it would please you, Lord, if it would bring you glory, that we could serve you more effectively through this building, then we pray that you would make it happen, that you would work in the minds and hearts of our building committee, that you would help them to make a proposal to our elders that would bring you glory, that you would work in the minds and heart of our elders, and that you would help them to bring a proposal to our church family that would bring you glory. And we pray, Lord, that you would work in the minds and hearts of our church family, that as a body, that we would have wisdom and discernment, that we could do exactly what would best please you. Lord, based on Scripture, we believe that this prayer pleases you. And so we pray it, confident that you will answer. In Jesus' name, amen.